Hello and welcome to Innovation Mind Spotlight series. Each month we are talking with top leaders and innovation experts about their ideas, strategies, tools and experience to help the world continue to innovate and thrive. I'm really happy to have two of the leaders of the industry and good friends of mine joining us today. Imran Jatala, co-founder and CEO of Center for Global Innovators. He is passionate about disruptive innovation and entrepreneurship. Imran is leading one of the largest innovation programs in Pakistan. He is working with corporates and academia to bridge innovation management between the Middle East and Pakistan. Imran's mission is to make Pakistan a top 50 innovative nation with $500 billion innovation economy by 2030. Our next guest is Bakhtawar Mahmood, Executive Advisor at Center for Global Innovators. She is the next generation leader who has been responsible for organizational transformation. At CGI, Bakhtawar is advising executives to navigate emerging business challenges, working to bring innovation management solutions to leading corporates in the Middle East and Pakistan to deliver innovation and digital transformation solutions. So without further ado, let's dive in. So before coming to this call, I was taking a sneak peek on your website. When I looked at your mission statement and your vision, Imran, it's so impressive, I would say. Especially when you talked about Pakistan is currently ranking 109 out of 126 countries and the Global Innovation Index. On the other side, your pool is to have 120 million people under the age of 25.
Yes.
That's a beautiful situation, right? You've got a challenge on one side and also a huge opportunity on the other side. So with that, your mission seems to be like making Pakistan a top 50 innovative nation with $500 billion innovation economy by 2030. That is huge. So why don't you just talk to us about how did you guys come up with this mission and how did you really form this CGI?
Thank you very much, Innovation Mind and Bala, for this opportunity. As we begin this exciting collaboration and partnership with Innovation Minds, I would love to share that how we get started. I was doing MBA with the Harvard International Business School in 2015. And one of my professors, Dr. Mark Esposito, taught us EDI, Entrepreneur-Driven Innovation Ecosystem. Being an entrepreneur at the heart of my heart, I was always looking to learn how great companies are built. I had built one great company, one good business in back in 2006, and unfortunately lost it. So since then, I've been looking to learn how great companies are built. So while I was doing MBA at Hult, Dr. Mark Esposito introduced us to this framework. And I realized that's just amazing. Eddie, that provides a framework how you can produce not just one company. You can actually replicate the whole of Silicon Valley somewhere else in the world. That effectively provides a complete framework that you can replicate Silicon Valley. I'm a passionate citizen of this country, and I really wanted to bring innovation and knowledge economy to this part of the world. So that was the inspiration. So Dr. Mark Esposito's one lecture gave me the direction for my life. And then I realized and then I found out that Dr. Mark Esposito and Dr. Olaf Groth both had published this framework as a consulting work they were doing for the European Union. Europe's population is aging and the economic growth is getting stagnant. So they came up with this EDI for Europe and European Union to stimulate their stagnant growth. So I realized we have somewhat similar problem due to different reason. We have a stagnant economic growth, not just because of aging population. Rather, we have an absolutely opposite big opportunity as well. We have one of the largest youth in the world. So that's an opportunity. So that's how we started CGI in 2017. And that was the beginning of an innovation consulting. And I define CGI as innovation, strategy, and design. So innovation of strategizer, that's my inspiration. Design of IDEO, that's design inspiration. And strategy of McKinsey. So that's how I define CGI. And when coming to vision and mission, I'm really a huge fan of Steve Jobs. And he says, I want to put a dent in the universe. I want to put a ding in the universe. So I thought, let's come up with something which I can relate to, which is big enough, where that the goal should be, the mission should be so huge that it consumes your life. And at the end, you really feel proud when you achieve it, that it has a significant impact on humanity. So that's why we came up in different phases and steps. We came up with this, that we want to make Pakistan top 15 innovative nation and $500 billion economy by 2030.
That's pretty impressive, Imran. So for our audience sake, CGI means Center for, can you just explain what is CGI?
Center for Global Innovators. I've been a global citizen always. Global has been my passion. And to be very honest, all the 5 and 6 startups that I founded since 2016 has either global in the name or a globe in the logo.
Awesome. So, Dr., what's your association? What's your account? And so how did you get connected with the CGI?
All right. So again, thank you, Valor, for having me here. And it's a great pleasure first to be associated with CGI and then with your organization, Innovative Minds. I have been associated with Imran for quite a long time now. We were collaborating for different ventures at different levels. And recently, I have been engaged in one of their very amazing startup that has caught my attention and everybody's attention, especially across the north region of Pakistan. That's the summer startup school that they are conducting in collaboration with the Lahore Garrison University. The goal, the target, actually, the main point that caught my attention was bridging this corporate academia gap, harvesting local entrepreneurs, creating opportunities from within the society, helping different ventures by providing them the mentorship, by providing them different ideas, and that too on a virtual platform. And that's, of course, free of cost. So it's kind of a global dictionary. It's kind of a global encyclopedia that is available. The comprehensive speakers, the content that is available, starting from how to create an idea to the point how to brand it and how to innovate it as well. So all of that has been accumulated in that one particular domain. And so far, so good. The collaboration has been really good. I have been in the advisory board until this time and providing some kind of advisory services. But I think Imran and his team are doing an excellent job. And I am amazed to be, I'm actually enjoying this time working with them.
Bakhtawar can be a very good executive advisor. So we're working with Innovation Minds. Now we have a comprehensive innovation management solution which we have to pitch to executives, both in academia and corporate. So that's Bakhtawar's role primarily. She's an executive advisor because she's a very well-groomed professional, a very serious professional. I really admire her. So that's where she's filling in the gap.
Awesome. Congratulations, Bakhtawar, for all the success. There is a perception that Pakistan may be a conservative country, and then on the other side, when you're thinking of innovation, it always goes like challenging the status quo, right? What do you see is the state of innovation from Pakistan, and are you seeing any kind of cultural constraints or technology constraints?
Yes, why not? This is a great question, Bala. The Afghan war, the Russian invasion of Afghanistan, and then the 9/11, had a huge impact on Pakistan, because Pakistan throughout from 80s to 2010s for almost 3 decades was right next to an active war zone. So that hampered the economic growth of the country. We were right next to a war zone. So a lot of countries were imposing restrictions, limitations in opening up businesses and business channels with Pakistan. So that hampered the economic growth. Since 2010s, there was another level of challenge. The domestic security really deteriorated. And since 2015, 2016 to onwards, in last, I would say, 3 to 4 years, it has dramatically changed. Even the world cannot believe how Pakistani security, internal security, has improved in last 3 to 4 years. The crime rate, the domestic challenges, all has been curbed thanks to all the stakeholders of the state, that they came together, they put up a plan and they curbed. Now is the time for Pakistan to take off. Before Corona, Pakistan was very well positioned to take off economically, although then Corona came and then it really hampered the growth again once. But post-Corona, I see Pakistan is positioned, rightly positioned with all the macro indicators to economically for an uplift. The reason is we have more than 100 million youth. We have $250 billion domestic spending, consumer spending. So, and we are like 1.5 million students every year, graduating every year. So we have educated workforce, we have youth bulge. We're one of the largest youth population in the world and very fairly young population, under 30. Most of them are under 30. They're very productive age, at the very productive age. And plus we have $250 billion consumer spending. So I really believe that Pakistan is going to have at least five unicorns in next 5 years. Just based on... So that opens up a huge market for innovation as well. Luckily for us, for CGI, the business has been going up since we hit COVID. I'm lucky.
Blessing in disguise. Whatever I
say. So that in every digital transformation business and innovation business is picking up. Somehow digital transformation got really accelerated. And that has been the case for us as well. Since we had Corona, our business is growing. Although I've been sitting at home for the last 3 months, during the lockdown, working from home, but business has been doing amazing. And in that time, we got connected with you somehow. We built up a collaboration partnership. And this opens up a whole new avenue for us. And I'm really excited for this partnership because then it enables us what we have been dreaming to do. To build 100,000 startups per year. So 100,000 startups mean that's a very ambitious challenge. Then again, but... including the universities and the corporate innovation houses, if and through the Power of Innovation Minds platform, if we are able to create 100,000 startups, which I really believe in now, which I see is possible, so that would be a $1 billion business for us as well.
Speaking of those similar lines, the cultural constraints, and then how you're really overcoming with the help of technology and the thought leadership, Bhaktavar, maybe I can just ask a question to you. Are you seeing any challenges in terms of the women empowerment or women employment, or what are you doing, or how are you helping to educate innovators out there to really sort of all these kind of constraints and notion and then still pursue their dreams? So what are you doing, or what are the opportunities you see out there?
All right. First of all, we have to actually understand that the kind of perception that the Western world adopts is completely different from the actual standing. I, being a girl, have always enjoyed this legacy of being a girl because our culture, our values actually facilitate the values of being represented as a lady in any forum. So apart from that, I believe that a couple of initiatives that the government has taken, a lot of initiatives that have been taken over the last few years in Pakistan, that have actually boomed the women empowerment. A lot of females who were actually not doing anything, they were hesitant to step out for a 9-to-5 job. They had a busy schedule, having their children, maintaining their home. So now they have got this opportunity of the digital transformation that is available. They're managing their e-commerce businesses. Now they're managing their online businesses using what? Just a mobile phone. They pick up some kind of raw material, they create something, and then they sell it online. So over the last couple of decades, this has completely changed in Pakistan. I don't think so. I'm just talking about, especially about the urban cities as well. There is particularly almost zero challenge for any kind of gender discrimination. As long as you have very good idea, as long as you've got the skills, you've got the ability, there is no differentiation between choosing the idea from a girl or a boy. So it's equally good. But apart from that, there are a lot of areas in Pakistan, especially in the northern regions, where we usually perceive that the women might not be allowed to even step out of their houses. They are maintaining their small scale and cottage businesses. So all the ladies, especially in this part of the world and especially in Pakistan, they're all very hardworking. So they have the ability to maintain their house and run a side-by-side business to support their family. So I would say that women empowerment in Pakistan has been quite well understood, and people considering that apart from giving them the equal opportunities, it is equally important to give them the extra opportunities. So there are very well-reserved quotas for females for any kind of representation. I was actually very mesmerized to actually know that any organization, it is based in one of the SECP regulation, that's the Securities Exchange Center for Pakistan, that any organization needs to have at least one representation of the board members out of three. One should be at least a female. Otherwise, you cannot register your good company. You cannot go public. You cannot be a very good company unless you have one female representation in your board of directors. So these are the things that the government is taking. And a lot of similar initiatives have been taken at the corporate levels as well. So I will say that there are very few challenges because the overall dilemma of improving empowerment, because we are 51% of I would say, because we are 51%, so we are not the missing 51%. A lot of us are striving very hard to create our mark, and we are being provided equal opportunities. And most of the I would say, like when I was working for my internet based channel, so my CEO also advised me that while he was hiring me, he always said that choose the girls for the most creative job, because they're extremely creative. They do not work for just earning. They work for their passion, because they do not have the need to earn the money for or to raise their family, to earn money for very important, for earning their bread and butter. But they're doing it for the sake of passion, and that's the reason that they're more creative. They have been performing outstandingly. So my take on this will be that opportunities are there, but we have very less ratio of female representation who are themselves not willing to take in their steps. That's the sad point at the moment.
Awesome. That's great. So thank you for demystifying it. So I think this is great context here. So with that, Imran, I know that you're having huge presence on Middle East as well, right? Are you seeing the similar trends or similar kind of ecosystem out there? Or maybe it's a little different challenge or little different opportunity. How do you compare and contrast the opportunities ecosystem of Pakistan with overall Middle East market out there?
So I would say Dubai has a huge advantage. Dubai is a very mature startup ecosystem now. They've produced two unicorns. One is Noon and another is Green. That is a ride-hailing service, similar to Uber. They're based out of Dubai. So we already have two unicorns over there, and they're raising over $1 billion in investment. So there are sizable startups. I see good innovation opportunities in Dubai, definitely UAE in general. And then Saudi is an amazing market, because they came up with this new plan of 2030, Vision 2030, where they want to move from oil to a post-oil economy, and they're investing heavily in innovation as well and building a knowledge economy. So there are amazing opportunities in Saudi as well. Next, moving on to Qatar. Qatar too is a very rich country. They are already investing a lot in startup ecosystem. Last November, I visited Qatar, and they're putting up some of big projects. Like one of their technology park was worth over $1 billion. They built a technology park, a huge infrastructure worth over $1 billion. So then Bahrain and Kuwait, they're smaller markets, but they're significant because they too are investing in innovation business. So overall, I see amazing opportunities. A lot of Pakistani experts are working in the Middle East. That's one good connection. And as we were discussing, that we want to start building up case studies in Pakistan with the global companies like Pepsi, Coke, and other bigger brands, and in different verticals, in banking, in oil and gas. Pakistani oil and gas is mostly a state-run business, but that's a multi-billion dollar business. So if we build good case studies in Pakistan with oil and gas, retail, banking, and FMCG, then they are definitely, we can take these case studies to Middle East and to Pakistani diaspora. We can open up many doors faster than it would take us to open up in Pakistan.
Okay. Now I can see how you're connecting the dots there. That's a huge opportunity, especially when it comes to oil and exploration, right? Beautiful.
Yeah, good.
So let's actually switch the gear in terms of enterprise innovation or corporate innovation. Innovation Minds is having huge presence within US, and also slowly we are expanding. When we talk to corporate leaders in terms of innovation, either it's instituting it or fortifying it or accelerating any of the existing programs, they usually cite two or three usual suspects or kind of constraints why they are not able to move fast or why they are not able to get to the true north that they are aspiring to. I can say that maybe my corporate culture is not supporting us because we are not aligning all our innovation efforts towards solving the organizational goals. That could be one. Or they may say that we don't have the scalable platform or processes or framework. That's where Innovation Minds is going to help. So that is another reason or rationale that we are hearing in terms of the constraint. So I can just go on and on with these kind of challenges, but now they also started talking about two or three things. With the COVID situation, most of the employees are working remote. With this kind of context, I want them to be really focusing on our core product, core business, and ensure that our ship is floating and also cruising, and then we are able to keep up our business running rather than focusing on innovation at this time. And also they talk about, hey, in these kind of difficult times, budget is going to be really precious. So I want to put all my money towards my core program. So I will not be able to set aside any money towards this innovation or going outside in terms of embracing the disruption and all those things. So having said that, these kind of challenges are prevalent in Pakistan as well, or you're seeing any other different challenges that corporate innovation leaders are trying to solve out there? What is the situation out there with this COVID on the backdrop?
Well, I would say before COVID, I had first meeting with OGDCL. OGDCL is a state-run oil and gas development company of Pakistan, and they have a revenue of over $1 billion. So I had first meeting with them last year, and they wanted to do something innovation, but they were not clear what to do. And then eventually they said, set us up a corporate innovation center for oil and gas. But that time we were not ready. We didn't add a platform, something like Innovation Minds. And now I feel like now is the time where we can pitch them a comprehensive solution based on a digital platform. Yes, there was a reluctance in adoption of digital technologies last year. People wanted more of physical solutions. But fortunately, the side effect or what the positive impact of COVID is, now everybody is convinced on digitalization because every single company on earth is working using some digital tools or working from home. No company on earth is either they're gone, or if they're still alive, they're alive due to digital tools. So that is a positive thing for us, that digitalization is the new normal, and we don't really need to oversell it. People already are buying digital solutions. So this is the perfect time. Pakistani market, I believe, is ready. There are huge companies who want in food, in oil and gas, in banking. They were exploring to do something in innovation. Frankly, we didn't have a solution as powerful as Innovation Minds or other big companies are. The other big companies charge too much amount, so it's very difficult to run a pilot. With Innovation Minds, I believe we can do pilots, and these pilots will then convince the bosses and the boardrooms to invest full-fledged into a corporate innovation center.
Awesome. So maybe, Bhakta, or you can also chime in here. One of the trends that we are seeing is, being a startup, and also whether you're talking about small or medium-sized or even large enterprises, they are using gig economy a lot from US perspective, UK perspective. For any kind of seasonal needs, they usually go to Upwork or LinkedIn ProFinder. So nowadays, we are seeing a lot of Pakistani professionals coming to Upwork and then trying to establish their services and sharing all their wisdom. So looks like there is so much kind of energy out there and innovation and the professionals. So are you specifically focusing on how do you providing the platform for those gig workers become the entrepreneurs? At some point, they are going to be forming their own empire. What is your kind of approach towards really channeling all those energy towards your mission of creating that 2030 $500 billion innovation economy?
Yeah. So as Imran mentioned, that we have got a huge youth-based population, and that's almost more than like 83% of the overall population. That's a huge percentage. And a lot of them, I was so happy to actually observe this whole thing during this corona pandemic, that we have a huge group of individuals, these freelancers who are working in their own capacity, and they are not just working at the national level, they're working for the international flights. And their work is extremely, extremely important. A lot of students who I used to interact with, they were always coming up with, like, ma'am, we have got this idea, and we have got this skill, and we do not need a 9-to-5 job, because we are already earning much more than that what we can get from an ordinary job. So what we want right now is a good mentorship. We need a platform whereby we can create a team. Let's suppose there's one good graphic designer. They need a marketing person for that. Then they need a person who can help them with the financials. So it's very important to actually collaborate all of these people working in their own individual capacity. So I have had the experience of working with a lot of such people, and I am very amazed to see that we do have the talent, we do have the potential. A lot of Pakistani youngsters who are university students, right now they're working, they're studying in the universities, or they're the fresh graduates. They are selling their skills online. The only issue we had was that we were not getting international clientele because of certain payment issues, that the exchange of money and the exchange of money for in return of their products and services, it was not possible. But recently, government has taken a lot of initiatives to help these freelancers create their account. I've heard that one of the banks has also helped them create their accounts, so that now they can sell and take whatever kind of linkage they want to establish with their clients. And this is a huge potential that we need to exploit at this point. What we need to do is create another platform. We need to create opportunities for them to collaborate. They have their skills. They know how to do it. What we need to do right now is provide them the opportunity, so that instead of just working for individually, this synergy is going to help them excel more than that. And I think this is one of the way out that we can achieve that 100,000 startups each year. I'm happy that the government itself is considering into helping such people. But I think people like Imran and a lot of other people in the corporate sector, they are taking the lead to help such individuals develop this whole synergy in between themselves, so that 1 + 1 = 11 so for them. And I hope that this is probably a new thing in our region, but has been a very old thing in working in the Western parts of the world. They have used it, and again, the potential is there. We see the opportunities. We see that it is possible. What we lack, and what these freelancers lack at this point, is a platform. And I hope that CGI aims to provide that as well.
I'd just like to add a few words into this. Pratavar explained it beautifully. Pakistan is now the fourth largest freelancing population. Uh-huh. And freelancer is just an inch away from to becoming an entrepreneur. They just need to team up. They just need to shake hands with someone sitting next, and boom, they can start a company, because they are already skilled people. So Cranfield University is our partner. We're doing incubation programs in partnership with them. So they advised us that there are two types of entrepreneurship. One is necessity entrepreneurship, and another is opportunity entrepreneurship. Necessity entrepreneurship is primarily micro businesses, small businesses, and freelancers, because they need to earn their livelihood, and they opt this path. But gradually they acquire skills, and they're ready to be transformed into opportunity entrepreneurs. Because then once you've learned coding, once you've served international market, then you can create something as amazing as an Uber application. All you need is to add or either find someone with business skills or require business skills. And you can launch the next Uber or the Cream or the Amazon or whatever. There were challenges in Pakistan previously that we didn't have PayPal yet. That's unfortunate. That's sad for us. Amazon just last week announced they're coming to Pakistan. So this would open up new opportunities in Pakistan.
Awesome. I think you beautifully put it, Imran, especially when you talked about necessity-driven and chasing the opportunity. That is the natural evolution, right? That's beautiful. So having talked about all those things, I'm really excited to having this partnership. Recently, we embarked on, right, Innovation Minds and as well as Innovation Garage and CGI. Can you just share what is on your mind in terms of our collective roadmap as we move on into this future, how we may be able to help the Pakistani entrepreneurs out there and enterprise community, especially the innovation thought leaders, HR leaders. What is in it for them and why they should care about these two organizations coming together?
Yeah, that's a very good question, Bala. With this partnership, one, we have got a very stable and a very powerful platform that can be the innovation engine. So with this engine, we can move fast. We can build up like 100 incubation programs in a time of peaks, which would have taken us months and maybe years. So the scalability really got accelerated. So we've got something which would help us build 100 incubation programs in weeks. We can put up corporate innovation centers in one quarter, multiple corporate innovation centers. That's the power we have got through this. And that's where I'm seeing that we are a perfect fit. Innovation Minds provides the platform. We have a bit of the knowledge base and the local know-how. You bring in an international network as well. So our mission is to hit 100,000 startup mark. It might take us 2 to 3 years to actually hit 100,000. But clearly the journey is worthwhile. It would be worth it to put up energy. Next, we want to build a global network of friends of Pakistan, I call them. They can be Pakistanis and they can be people like you, who are expert in any business dimension, and they want to help us. So then if we accumulate like 10 million mentorship hours, and we connect this huge 10 million hours of energy to the local youth. So expect some real magic happening over here. Pakistan is located at a beautiful geographic location. We have India next. Hopefully one day we'll get friendly. Hopefully one day the markets will open. Then China is another $1 billion. So within 3-hour radius, we have 1/3 of global population. So that's a huge market to serve. So Pakistani innovators, if they start producing global products, and with China investing almost about $60 billion plus in that One Belt, One Road initiative project, we call it China-Pakistan Economic Corridor, CPEC. And that's a route that China has built for a faster access to Middle East and North Africa. So there would be a $1 trillion plus trade happening between China and the Middle East, North Africa in next decade. So that opens up a whole new avenue for the local businesses. I see a lot of factories, a lot of production moving from China to this CPEC routes, serving Middle East and North Africa. And then Europe is also connected, and that's a shorter route.
You talked about how you're helping the enterprise clients out there and then freelancers or individual entrepreneurs out there, how they may be able to leverage your platform to really succeed on their innovation mission. Are you having any kind of partnership with educational institutions like universities, or what is your kind of acquaintance with all the energy and the talent out there in your universities?
Yes, Bala, education is our main backbone. That's our prime strength. I built Hult Prize Pakistan chapter. Hult Prize is $1 million social entrepreneurship challenge. That's the largest engine for social good in the world. They're present in over 125 countries. They have a network of over 100,000 mentors globally. So, and I built the Pakistan chapter of Hult Prize. But through that, I scaled Hult Prize to more than 70 universities. So I have a good rapport and connections and the network in over 70 plus universities across Pakistan. There are 200 universities. And earlier this year, I started working with a university based out of Lahore Garrison University. That provides me a direct access, that provides us a direct access to the universities. And you will see in this Global Innovation Ecosystem Summit that a lot of universities will be participating.
There we can go and check out your programs, and maybe if I'm a corporate leader or I'm an entrepreneur or actually I'm a student from university, should I go to your website, or are there any other programs that you're offering? Do you have the facility? Can you just talk about when and how the folks may be able to reach out to you for help?
The primary landing page would be our website.
That's
consult CGI, consult CJ, from day one, we really wanted to be a global consulting company. So we say, consult CGI, like everyone should be consulting us. Consultcgi.com. And the consult CGI, same as our handle for LinkedIn, Twitter, and Facebook. That's the same handle. Facebook.com, consult CGI. Twitter.com/consultCGI. LinkedIn.com/consultCGI. So that's our same handle for all the social media pages as well.
What are you trying to accomplish? And can you just walk me through who are all going to be your target audience when they are joining your summit? What they expect to get out of those 2 or 3 days? I don't know how many days you're going to be running the summit. Can you just walk us through what is that about and what we can get out of it?
So Global Innovation Ecosystem Summit, GIES 20, as we say it, is a launch pad for our grand vision. So we are saying that we want to build a $500 billion economy, innovation economy by 2030. And this all initiative is private sector led. This is led by CGI and our partner, Laura Garrison University, because we don't want to get into bureaucracy and we don't want to have governmental delays. So this is all private led initiative. And this innovation summit is the launch pad for our vision, where we want to showcase to the academia and the industry, look, hey, this is what we're doing. This is the strengths we have got. Join us and let's change Pakistan. Let's change people's lives. And let's build an innovation economy together where it's a win-win for everyone. It's a 5-day summit. We're starting on day one, 24th, boom, with a global innovation workshop with and powered by Innovation Minds. And we'll be bringing top executives and academic leaders to experience firsthand the Innovation Minds platform so that they can have a feel that how powerful this platform is and how easy it is to build an incubation center or an innovation, corporate innovation center powered by Innovation Minds.
Oh, awesome. So I'm really, really looking forward to it. So I think actually this is pretty insightful and I'm actually walking away with much more clarity about the ecosystem out there and the energy and the opportunity. So it is going to be a kind of eye-opening experience for our audience here as well. So thank you for your time, Imran and Bakhtawar, and we wish you all the best with your endeavors and just go get it done. So whatever the mission that you're talking about, 2030, with all the great things that going on, it is definitely doable, and all the best for your success. Thank you for your time.
Thank you very much. We loved it. Thank you very much for the opportunity, Bala.